You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Final hour of today's Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Jason McIntyre, in for Dan and the Danettes today from Mercedes-Benz Studios. You know, before we get into a big topic from in the NFL, you know, we were talking a few minutes ago, and we got cut short, at the top of the hour. You know, we were talking about Luka Doncic, you and I, and about his statement that, hey, I don't like this whole NBA play-in format, and that, you know, we play all year to go and finish in seventh place. I don't get why we have to play in a play-in game. Listen, play better. Don't finish in seventh. But this was kind of a... Jay, this is kind of a flare going up with Luka Doncic saying, I need more help here in Dallas. And you brought up a really interesting topic about, you know, when's the next superstar player we're going to see not get that second contract or not want to stay with that second big contract with his team. And, you know, clearly with Luka Doncic, you want to stay in Dallas, and it seems like that's what he wants. He's got the owner that's going to go spend money and try to make the team better. But you brought up Zion, and, you know, the more I think about this in the last few minutes, I think there's no way that the Pelicans keep him. Yeah. You know, he wants to be a star, and he understands that, listen, I'm going to do the thing for a few years here, and then when comes time to cash in, I'm going to go someplace else. I thought he was going to pull the big power play before the draft of, if you pick me, I'm not going there. I want to go to the Knicks, right? We were picking third. I want to go to a bigger market team. But it looked like cooler heads prevailed, and he was young. And I'm wondering if he was told, listen, just play here, become a star, and in 4 years, you can go. You'll be 23 years old, and you can go anywhere you want to. You can go to a big market, and you can be a guy for the next 10 years. Look at the NBA now. They're still on the end of LeBron James being a big star. You know, hold up for a couple of years, and by the time you get to 23, you're the big superstar. You can go cash in anywhere you want, and you will be the biggest star in the league, because we're going to be looking for somebody else. That's going to be, who are we going to watch? Who's the most watchable guy after LeBron leaves the game? And it's going to be Zion. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's other great players, don't get me wrong, but I mean, who gives you that romantic of your imagination of a big guy running the floor the way he does more than Zion Williamson? You know, we don't do that with Giannis. Donovan Mitchell is terrific. He's the closest thing the NBA's got to Kobe Bryant, but he doesn't have that aura and that itness about him of Zion. He's the guy that's going to go and say, okay, I'm going to go someplace else, and I'm going to be a superstar in L.A., in Miami, in New York, wherever it is. That's the guy that's going to wind up doing it.
Oh boy, I'll quickly gloss over Donovan Mitchell in the same sentence as Kobe is high praised. You must be a big Mitchell fan. I like him.
Oh,
as well.
I love Mitchell. I've loved him since college coming out. He's terrific. Love Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he's exceeded expectations coming out of what, Louisville, I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So let me quickly go back to something about Zion. So I heard a stat this week. He has 8 30-point games this season without a field goal made outside the paint. He is dominating in the paint like nobody since Shaq. Okay, 8 30-point games. The rest of the league has 7 of those combined. Nobody scores inside like Zion. So what should the Pelicans do? Build out 3-point shooters around them, right? That's obvious. They had J.J. Redick, one of the most prolific 3-point shooters in the league. And they butchered it. Did you hear J.J. Redick blast the Pelicans on the way out?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, wait a sec. Oh, let me think bigger picture. And I should disclose this. So I have an agent in sports media who's with CAA. J.J. Redick is rep by CAA, okay? He blasted David Griffin. Do you want to know who else is rep by CAA? Zion Williamson. So J.J. Redick, unhappy with how it was handled, when he basically said, I want to go to the Northeast, see my family, and they were like, okay, we'll help you out. Oh, no, we're going to ship you to Dallas. Zion's seeing this stuff, okay? Lonzo Ball, by the way, I don't think he's returning. That's just my read on this. He's not going to be coming back to New Orleans. Like, I don't know how you're paying that guy $20 million a year. He's shooting the lights out, Jason. You've seen this, but it's in a contract year. And, oh, by the way, have you noticed Zion's bringing the ball up the court a lot now? Like, wait, we can make him a point power forward. What do we need Zion for? What do we need Lonzo for? So I do believe, yes, we are close to testing whether or not Zion stays. Now, at that point, you're like, geez, Pelicans lose AD. Pelicans lose Zion. Do we just get them out of here and move them to Seattle or Vegas or something? And I will say the only other guy who I thought was close was Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, okay? He made it be known. I know some guys who were kind of in his circle. Ben Simmons, a great guy. I will always champion Ben Simmons. I know he can't shoot threes, but whatever. he really wants to be in LA. You know, he was, you know, not to go overboard, he was dating one of the Kardashians, Kendall Jenner. She's now with Devin Booker, who's, you know, in Phoenix. Ben Simmons can't date a celebrity, a big-time celebrity, while he's in Philly. He wanted to be in L.A. badly. And there was talk that he held off on signing his extension, his rookie extension, because he was trying to figure out how to get to L.A. He's a clutch guy. You know, he would love to be with LeBron in L.A. It didn't happen. He signed the extension. I think you're onto something, Jay. I think this Zion thing is worth watching. Now, it's probably, what, 2 or 3 years out? He's only in year 2, I think. But with the NBA, that's what we do, right? Who's the next star to leave? Well, is Karl Anthony Towns going to go to Minnesota and say, I'm done with this franchise. Get me to New York. I love Thibodeau. I'm from the New Jersey area. Because that's the chatter behind the scenes, that Karl Anthony Towns would love to get out. Meanwhile, he also told the franchise, hey, we don't want LaMelo Ball because my guy, who I made you guys trade for, D'Angelo Russell, he's going to be our point guard. Let's get what's his name? Anthony Edwards. And they didn't pick Wiseman also because they have Cat. Will Cat then turn tail and say, get me out of here? I don't know, but you know this, Jay, watching the league. Every year, some star suddenly is unhappy. Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler. We've seen this for now, I mean, the last like 7 years, right? A star is unhappy. And this would be next level for the league if Zion's like, you know what? I'm going to forego money because I know I'm getting it on the back end somewhere else. Get me to, and where's he going? Does he go to New York?
Well, you're talking about in 2 years.
Yeah.
And if the Knicks are good enough in 2 years, yeah. If it's LeBron is retiring and, hey, I can go to L.A.
Ooh.
And with the suddenly look at me and AD just killing it up and down the floor, and he'll have his pick. It'll be like Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, like every generation has that, right? Yeah. We see history repeat itself over and over. You know, we saw Shaq do it with Orlando, got to the finals, couldn't win, and then said, you know what? I need more. I need to worry about my legacy. I want to be a bigger star. And so, hey, it was the Lakers, and that he's going to pick where he wants to go. Wherever he wants to go, that's going to be, and teams are going to say, yes, we'll do anything you want to come in. It's going to be that big a deal. Yeah. The Zion Williamson free agency is going to, if you thought the LeBron stuff was big when he was picking his new team, oh, Zion's going to be just like it. Because you're talking about a kid who's 23 years old, and all he's got to do is, you know, stay healthy. I'm concerned about his weight. That's the one thing, because when you're this young and you're the heaviest player in the NBA or the second heaviest player, that's a big thing. But if he stays healthy, I mean, forget it. There's nobody
now,
with the skill set.
Now, Jason, let me ask you. There's a lot of small market NBA fans right now who are ticked off at us. And they're saying, why you got to take our stars out of the market? And here's my pushback, because I know they're out there. I'm not going to go on social media during the commercial, but I'm telling you, I get this all the time. Why do you want to ruin the small markets? Answer, riddle me this, people. Oklahoma City had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. They were set up to win. They go to the finals. What do they do after getting to the finals? Sam Presti, who everybody loves on social media, he's such a great GM. He traded James Harden because he didn't think they could afford him. He's the one who blew up OKC. Sam Presti is the one. When you got Harden out of there, they never got back to the finals, okay? They never put another player there with Durant to keep him there. And Durant leaves, and everybody blames Durant. Why would you trade James Harden? Okay, I know the margin of error, and we agree, Jay, right, is very small if you're in a small market. You can't screw up. David Griffin, the clock is ticking. Make some damn moves soon to keep Zion there. Because guess what? You can have all the draft picks you want. It doesn't matter. Go get Bradley Beal. Go trade for him. You bring Bradley Beal there, you get Beal, Brandon Ingram, Zion. I don't know. That to me is a playoff team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got to make a move. You can't just say, I'm clutching all these draft picks. I'm going to hoard them. Like, what are you going to do with them? You're going to be unemployed in 2 years, and you're not going to get to use the draft picks. The clocks are ticking, man. You have to strike, and I sound a little too fired up, but at any rate, it's disappointing when these small markets botch things.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Jay at Jason R. McIntyre. We're live from Mercedes-Benz Studios, where other vans stop short. Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond, from their customization options and cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. So go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Well, coming into our studios right now, you know, we talked about this morning. Jamal Murray with a really very scary injury last night for the Nuggets. The star guard was going in for a layup late in the loss to the Golden State Warriors. He came down on his left knee. His left knee buckled. He was in incredible amounts of pain. He was clutching his knee. He was helped off the floor. He could not put any pressure on his knee. The locker room was shaken after the game. Michael Malone said, listen, we're just waiting for the MRI. And it was very quiet. It was really difficult. And now, according to Shams Charania of Yahoo, just put this out about 3 minutes ago, according to reports, according to The Athletic, Jamal Murray, torn ACL in his left knee. His season is over. So now the Nuggets are going to have to navigate the playoffs and navigate the Western Conference without Jamal Murray. And, you know, Jay, we've talked about this a couple of times today, and now we get this diagnosis in. And, you know, look, your heart breaks for the kid. He's such a good player. You know, the average NBA fan, I don't think, knows how good of a player Jamal Murray is and what he means to this team. As good as Nikola Jokic is, all the MVP talk he's getting, hey, when it comes down to the playoffs, who was the best player on the Nuggets in the bubble? It was Jamal Murray. Who was the guy that would carry you when guard play gets more important in the playoffs? It was Jamal Murray. The Nuggets were rising. They were playing terrific. They were going to pass the Lakers. They were going to pass a couple of teams in the Western Conference. And the era of the Nuggets and the Jazz to an extent as well was going to be here in the West. And now you have Jamal Murray out. It's also a late season injury. So you wonder what it's going to be like from the beginning of next year too. But this is a huge blow. As good as the Nuggets are, as well as they've been playing, I don't know how they have a way forward the rest of the season without him.
Damn, dude. This is depressing. We've had a fun show. We've had a combative show. We like talking about fun topics. This is depressing. If you're a Denver Nuggets fan, it's like, oh my gosh. I think the last great Nuggets team was Carmelo and Iverson and Billups. I think they went to the conference finals and lost to the Lakers, if memory serves. And this team was going to go places in the West, guys. And I think you're right that the average fan out there, as they say, casual, does not know the level of respect for Jamal Murray. I'll say this. He came out of Kentucky, and all the hype had been about this kid named Lonzo Ball. So Lonzo gets to the league, and I'm fairly certain it was Lonzo's second game, and Jamal Murray was relentlessly talking trash to him and basically saying, who are you? What are you? You're nothing special. Everybody loves you. I'll show you. And Jamal Murray went at him, and they had it out for a couple games. Jamal and Lonzo, and Lonzo wanted none of the smoke. Jamal Murray is an awesome story. I think ESPN, the magazine, went deep on him. And essentially his dad was like a coach and realized that he loved basketball. And Jamal Murray was like 10 years old in Canada doing like 6 a.m. workouts with his dad. Like he would sit, do the wall sit, you know, with like weights on his legs and then work out for like an hour before school in like elementary school. This guy became a superstar. I'm a huge fan of his work. You know, there was a list, the 25 best players under the age of 25. And he was somewhere like, I don't know, 10. And I said, that's garbage. For me, he was top five. This guy is a bucket getter supreme. The confidence level that he has, I wish I had that, Jason, in my pickup basketball game. I missed like four shots in a row, and I'm cursing myself and down. Jamal Murray's just like, whatevs, you know, next, you know, and just heat check after heat check. A fun guy. This is a bummer for the NBA. And listen, Jason, at some point, we've got to call the NBA out here. Like, chill with trying to maximize profits for these billionaires and the owners, and let's not force a million games on these guys. They're playing almost four games a week exclusively this month. And that is what players hated and revolted against like 5 years ago. Remember Kawhi didn't do a back-to-back for like four straight years? Mm-hmm. And now they're like, we got to cram all these games in because of coronavirus. Just like, guys, come on. I'm not going to complain when players sit out, man. Because Jamal Murray missed four games in a row. Or maybe it was three games in a row, like the last week. And then he comes back and he gets injured. Like, I'm not going to be that guy who says, players got to play, fans pay the tickets. I want my guys healthy for the playoffs because that's when it matters. And now we don't have Jamal Murray.
Well, first thing I want to say is, see, I picture you in pickup hoops as just keep giving me the ball. I'm going to keep shooting. But, dude, you're 0 for 9. I'm just going to keep shooting, all right? Just give it to me. I'm going to shoot from way downtown.
Shooter, shoot. You know this.
You're the one I feel like you're stamping your foot and clapping your hands going, come on.
No, I'm not like that. I know my role. I know my role. Get open, play some D, get a couple steals, a couple hustle plays. But yeah, you got to just keep shooting. And man, this Jamal Murray news sucks, dude. This
you know, is a buzzkill. And you know what I love about him the most is that he's a guy that elevates when the moment calls for it.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of guys that can do that, right? There's when you need a big game, he's going to give you a huge game. And that's what and that's the thing. Like, that's what the average NBA fan doesn't know. Because, look, are the Denver Nuggets on national TV a lot? No, they're not. You know, the Lakers are on all the time. The Clippers are on all the time. We get the Bucks. We get the Nets. We get all of this. And he elevates. And that's what he did in the playoffs. And he took his game to a new level by saying, okay, get on my back and I can do it for you. And, you know, look, there were a couple of bad, you know, bounces of the basketball away from maybe pulling a big upset, right? I mean, that you know, one three-pointer doesn't go in, and maybe the NBA playoffs end a little bit differently last year with AD. But he's a guy that's what he does. Like, he can have a couple of those quiet games and be, hey, Jamal Murray, okay, he was 16-8. And those are games where Nikola Jokic, go, you know, he's got 28 and 11 and 7. But then when it's, hey, you know, it's not working for us, I'm going to go for 30. You know, I'm going to go for 35. I can give you 50 if you need it in those games. He is that special kind of player that can do that, and you know, your heart breaks for him. I mean, it's you know, he's going in for a layup, and he just comes down on his knee bad. And now, I like I said, I don't know the way forward for Denver. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is going to be difficult because, you know, the way that he fits in with that team, you know, they've built that team really, really well. They really know what they're doing there. And now it's okay. Now the Western Conference just got worse.
Is it Michael Porter Jr. season? Are we going to see MPJ, who was untouchable for the Nuggets for the longest time? Is he going to be the green light guy to go with Jokic? I mean, they have three good players. Gordon, Porter Jr., Jokic. I like Monty Morris. Shout out to Iowa State. I like the team, but, I mean, no Jamal Murray. Like, remember, this is a team that was down 3-1 to the Jazz in the first round before Murray caught fire and they stormed back to beat them. And the paperclips, but oof, just a bummer.
Well, listen, first of all, you can't call Michael Porter Jr. does not have a nickname yet, all right? He's got to do a little bit. He can't be MPJ, right? He doesn't have that yet. You know, but you talked about the part of playing of trying to jam these games in, and honestly, we're at a point where it's not that we're oversaturated with basketball, because you know, as a fan, there's, you know, four nights a week where we get a huge marquee game that is just awesome, right? That we're talking about the next day and we're breaking it down and look how great this game was. I mean, for the first month of the season, every night feels like opening night, right? Because we, you know, hey, here's the first time we're going to get the, you know, the Lakers and Heat rematch, or we're going to get the Bucks and the Sixers. Every night feels like opening night, and it's great. But it's just overall, I think for players now, it's just too much basketball. You know, the players are different. You're asking them to do a lot. They play basketball. They play way too much in the offseason. That's one thing is you got to stop running, you know, finishing the regular season and the playoffs, and then 2 days later you're playing pickup for, you know, 3 hours. I mean, I get it, but it's just too much basketball. And it's never going to go back because teams aren't going to say, well, hey, we're going to have less games and make less money. But that clearly would be the way forward for the NBA. If you're talking about player preservation and getting them to play in all the games,
yeah,
you know, 55 games is the perfect number, right? That's the perfect number of games in the NBA because we know everything we need to know after 55 games.
Are you also for baseball shortening from 162?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I baseball could go to 140. And baseball can really go to 120 if they wanted to.
120, yeah. I mean, the urgency is what makes the NFL so great. There is 17 games now. Basically, it's just 4 months, one game a week for your team, and the bodies get rested, everybody comes back, and, you know, there's a sense of urgency in every game. I'm sorry, but January NBA is meaningless. It just is. I feel kind of the same way. Like, life right now has changed so much from the 80s. Right? I mean, you could see NBA basically, 5 days a week, 7 days a week if you want to with the league pass, or you just have cable and you watch TNT and NBA TV and ESPN, and like, there's just so many games on. It's really, really difficult to keep it locked in on the league. Like, I don't even know, how many more games are left in the season? Like 20?
Yeah. Yeah. Teams have between like 18 and 20 games left. Yeah.
Ugh.
It still seems like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, even though they're playing 10 less, it still seems like a lot.
And the playoffs are, I think, like 2 months long, 3 months or something insane like that?
They actually go all the way to Thanksgiving. So that's when we actually end the playoffs. And then we start the next season the next day. Like, game 7 of the finals is scheduled for a Sunday. Opening day is Monday. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Jason at Jason R. McIntyre. The Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Again, the news just in. Nugget star guard Jamal Murray, a torn ACL in his left knee. He is out indefinitely, but you know torn ACL means that's going to be it for you for the season. He got hurt last night, non-contact injury against Golden State. We'll have more on this story coming up next. We got Ryan Holland stopping by. More on Zion, more on the Lakers. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Jason McIntyre, the DP Show on Fox.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith and Jason McIntyre in for Dan Patrick. Huge NBA news that came in just a few moments ago, late last night. Jamal Murray, star guard of the Nuggets, went down, non-contact injury, going in for a layup, came down on his left leg, crumpled to the floor, was screaming in pain, holding his knee. The locker room was shaken afterwards. Head coach Michael Malone said, listen, we're just waiting for the MRI. Everybody's on edge right now. And it's just come in. Nugget star has a torn ACL. He is out indefinitely. And, you know, look, when you have a torn ACL, this means you're going to be out for the rest of the season. And suddenly a Nuggets team that was rising now looks to try to find some way forward in a loaded Western Conference. This changes everything in the NBA and the Western Conference right now. Joining us now on the hotline, longtime friend of the show. You can follow him on Twitter at The Ryan Hollins. That's at The Ryan Hollins. 45 years in the NBA now, one of the best analysts out there. What's up, dog? What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you guys doing?
Good, man. Hey, so what's your reaction to this Jamal Murray news? I know it's new. It just came in, torn ACL after what happened last night.
For one, prayers up for Jamal Murray and him and his mental state of being and his family and everything. It's just, you know, injury is just the ugly head of sports that we, you know, don't always talk about. And what's even sadder is that Jamal is one of the young emerging stars in our league. And I know the biggest questions with Jamal, a guy who I competed against even as a young age when he was just headed out of high school, you know, playing for the Canadian national team. You question his consistency. You knew he could score the basketball, but it really had looked like Jamal had taken that next step and was kind of pushing the cusp of superstardom when he knocked out the Utah Jazz out the playoffs, knocked the Clippers out. You know, he made shot after shot after shot and looked like this was going to be a run for the Nuggets to go on. This absolutely impacts the Western Conference. You see the window just start to open up for LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Lakers and the Clippers, because I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're the Clippers, they just come out and they just put hands on the Clippers. Ain't nothing worse than being up and losing the lead. So, you know, I don't want to say the Clippers are throwing a party at someone else's expense, but, you know, there's even more a sense of urgency behind what that team can come out and do. But like I said, before we even get to the talk, the sports talk, just prayers up with Jamal Murray and his overall well-being, and you wish him a healthy and speedy recovery.
Hey, what's up, Ryan? Let me ask you this. We know the league had the shortest offseason in sports history, shorter than any offseason for baseball, football, you name it. And they want to condense all these games here in April to make up for the losses due to COVID. And does the league need to really look at how it handles the schedule? Because they are backloading these schedules in April when there's no NFL, no March Madness. And I do wonder, we've seen a ton of stars injured this year. I mean, does the league bear some responsibility for this, and do they need to reassess the scheduling and maybe even the season length?
Not even close. When the players come to the table and they want that money and the salary cap to go up, and you know, you want $20 million and $25 million and $30 million, there's no complaints there. I think the responsibility falls upon the teams. You know, for instance, the Los Angeles Lakers, hats off. They did not force Anthony Davis back to a speedy or LeBron James to a speedy time off. Those guys are taking their time because they know how important and valuable they are to their organization. The Lakers went out and got the two pretty much six men of the year in Schroeder and Harrell to kind of shore up their bench. So you had to kind of prepare for the storm knowing that you had a short offseason. and you can't load your stars with the same type of minutes. And with COVID, the short offseason, you are seeing the effect. Look at the Miami Heat and the slow start that they came out to. Those teams that made long runs in the bubble are coming out and feeling it. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know why the league is able to pay players so much? Because they get so much from the sponsors. And when you cut out the sponsors' games and they can't make the money that they're making, they might not be as quick to give the revenue to the league as they once were. You don't want to go out and lose a big-time partner like a Gatorade or a Nike or a McDonald's. You want to make good on your half of the bargain. So when you're talking money and you're talking business, that's the language that's spoken. And you want to get back on track. You don't want to have a funky, weird season where we're starting, you know, in December always, and people are throwing that start December or start February always. This is just good. No, it's not good, because there's money that players are used to making, and it's part of the rigors of the season, and it's why hats off to the Lakers and teams that have been willing to dig into their bench. But unfortunately, yeah, we've seen injuries, and we've seen it harbor and hit the top teams in the league that went the furthest.
Ryan, how much of it, this is something else we got into, how much of it is players playing too much basketball in the offseason? Because, you know, some of these guys, you know, they finish and then, you know, you see like LeBron win a championship and then a couple of days later it's, hey, look at this dunk he had when he and Wade and these guys are playing. But it's like, dude, really? You're going playing pickup, you know, up and down the floor? I mean, is it too much basketball in the offseason?
I'd actually counteract that. You know, I'd say as a guy who played 10 years, not 45. I'd love to play 45 years in this league. At least in it. I'll take the 45, but, you know, you got to sharpen your skills in the offseason. And some of the best seasons that I ever had as a pro, I kid you not, were when I played either USA basketball or I competed in a full Drew League season and I wasn't just kind of standing around. But if anything, it's backwards. These players now, they don't play basketball. They don't play pickup ball. They don't get out there in the offseason and play. You know, that it's really a lost art. These guys, so it may be a mix where these guys, all they do is train and get up shots. So they may need to play more basketball to condition themselves. LeBron James doesn't take days off because his body is routine to just go and play and play and play. And his body clock, that's what it speaks to. So I don't think that these guys should be playing less basketball, possibly play more.
Oh, wow, Ryan. Jeez, play more. I want to say, I'm going to push back against your, does the NFL bear any responsibility? Like, you're looking at a short-term gain for long-term pain if you're like, hey, we need that money. Because an ACL injury to a scoring machine who's a shooting guard, I know that the improved science and medicine, yeah, these guys are recovering quicker, and it's almost the same. But I'm not so sure about that. I don't know that I would take a little bit of money.
But who
now.
Told you to run? Who told you to run your guy into the ground? So as a team, you gotta load manage your guys, and even if they are 26, 27 years old, Jay, you gotta load manage them, right? I think that's on the team, that's on the coach, that's on the training staff, with all due respect.
So the NBA backloaded the schedule. Everybody's playing four games a week, basically. Three or four games a week in the month of April. So
hey, Jason,
the middle of heated playoff race in the West. Hold up.
Jason, happened during the lockout.
What's that?
So when we had the NBA's lockout, you remember it, right?
Yeah.
So we're used to a back-to-back, and all we do is cry and complain off back-to-backs. When we came back, we had triple back-to-backs, game. And you know what, Jason, as a pro, if you're not conditioned to get in and get your work in on the days off the same way on a work day, that's your problem. When I would play, I would go a full month without having a day off. Because the very next day, when we're not playing, I'm in there busting my butt to do what I need to do. After a game, if I played big minutes, I'd go rest. If I didn't play big minutes, I'd go get on the bike and run and train. So if these guys aren't taking care of and conditioning their bodies, I don't want to say it's on them, but it's part of the business, Jay. And as a team, if you don't have the temperature of your star and he's fatigued and he's – and I don't know the situation with Jamal Murray. Sometimes they're freak accidents. But you got to be attentive to your star's needs, and you can't run him into the ground.
Yeah, but if you don't have your star anymore – you know, how can you got nothing. Like, without Jamal Murray, I know Jokic is a star,
hold
but
on,
Jamal Murray is a top 15, 20 player
MVP
in the league.
MVP candidate is nothing. Like MVP, come on, dude. And the reason that Nikola Jokic is an MVP candidate is strongly because the year that he was making his big push, Murray had missed time. Barton had missed time. He was the only consistent on the Nuggets roster. They were winning games. So don't tell me they were stripping.
You can't compare a big guy's minutes to Jamal Murray's minutes. Come on. Jamal Murray's creating.
When it's Nikola Jokic, when you leave it,
You know, at one point in the year, he led the team in every statistical category: points, rebounds, steals, assists, block shots. And I think he lost block shots to Michael Porter Jr. the last time. Look, are you kidding me?
But the
who would you rather have, Murray or Jokic? It's not even a contest. Yeah,
I think it's closer than the experts think. But again, you can't compare the minutes of a big guy like Jokic to those of Jamal Murray, who's chasing around usually the best opposing guard, and he's creating off the pick and roll.
You know,
Jokic
Jamal Murray's not chasing the best opposing guard. They're hiding Jamal on defense. I'm going to tell you that
stop.
They're going to bust
really?
His butt.
Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray?
Listen, they ain't doing that. That ain't his strong suit. Them other guys there to play defense. He there to get buckets, okay? That ain't his strong suit.
Campazzo or whatever that guy's name is. He can't guard a chair, okay? Jamal Murray's playing defense. He's not an elite defender.
No, he's not, man.
That's why
he's going off this year.
Now, Ryan, you're upsetting me because you're ruining my plan of going to Fox Sports Radio and saying I need load management. Like, I can't do five shows a week. I need like four shows a week. Maybe, you know, a couple of days. I need personal time, like Kyrie. I need some time. I can't keep doing five. Times have changed, man. I'm doing more radio and doing more things. I can't do this like I used to.
Oh my gosh, load management.
You need radio load management, man. Ryan Hollins with us here, Fox Sports Radio. Hey, really quick on this, because we got into this a little bit earlier. Steph Curry, 53 last night. Top in Wilt Chamberlain. Now he's the all-time leading scorer for Golden State. Does he stay with them long-term, or in a year is he looking and he goes someplace else because the era of the Warriors and winning championships is over?
I honestly can't see Steph Curry anywhere else. And, you know, you got to look at how indicative of should he leave, of how he treated the time when he was out last year. This guy was itching to get back on the court. He hasn't lacked for effort, as we've seen last night. So I really can't see Steph leaving the Bay. This was a guy who, you know, grew up in Charlotte and was there with his dad. And, you know, Steph is a simple lifestyle type of guy. But I will throw this out. If Steph Curry was to leave anywhere and go play somewhere, and I would love to see him with LeBron on the Lakers, don't get me wrong. I would love to see that. It's going to be Charlotte. He's going to go back home. Charlotte is home. His dad works there in television, on TV. I remember when he was a young kid, a little guy, he'd come and sit on the table, the training room table, wouldn't even say a peep or a word to anybody. And you're like, oh, wow, that is Steph. I forgot he was in there, you know. But if he goes anywhere, it'll be back home. It would be back home to Charlotte. So I think if there's a move, it would just be a home kind of tour, if anything.
More likely to leave Steph Curry or Kawhi Leonard bolting the Clippers if they can't get out of the second round this year?
Oh, I would say Kawhi, in the sense that it's tough because Kawhi's home. There's not much more he can ask for, and everything has been catered around him. So I really would say neither, but I would say maybe Kawhi because he toots to his own drum. No rhyme or reason, you know? Right now. Hey, I can logic out Steph Curry and why he may think or feel somewhere or have voice, but Kawhi is like San Antonio, Popovich, rings, Tim Duncan, I'm out, guys. Like, if he feels like there's another situation, he has the Clippers at bay, he can get up and go. We've seen LeBron James do it and go other places, but the Clippers have committed to build around Kawhi. But in comparative to Steph as a Laker or Kawhi going elsewhere, I would give more of a chance to Kawhi, even though I don't think any of those guys would go.
On Twitter, at the Ryan Hollins. That's at the Ryan Hollins, 10 years in the NBA. You see him on Fox, on ESPN. And a guy who tweeted the other day, the older he gets, the more he appreciates his father's R&B classics. So you can go, you know, do him a favor. Go listen to Candy Girl now. Okay, you can go listen to Candy Girl. Go listen to...
I love... Do you ever dream of... Come on, man, don't get me started.
All right, go put that mixtape in. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Ryan.
I got you.
Later. All right, great stuff, man. Oh, he was not happy with you, Jason McIntyre.
Of course
he
not.
Was,
all we do
he
is
was
argue.
Not happy with
we,
you at
we've
all.
We've hosted a show together and argued for like two straight hours.
Yeah, I bet you he's blocked you on Twitter already.
No. Respectable people. I don't block media people. I'd rather get combative with them. Hey, by the way, did you see this NFL news that just happened? It's not big.
We are going to get into that coming up next right here. Jason Smith, we have a big story from the NFL. Jason Smith, Jason McIntyre, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Jason at Jason R. McIntyre. Or if you want to block either of us, that's fine as well.
Yeah, preemptive block.
We'll have that straight ahead right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Jason McIntyre in for Dan and the Danettes today. Thanks to Ryan Hollins for stopping by with us. We, you know, spent the last half hour breaking down all the big news in the NBA, including Jamal Murray, now a torn ACL last night, suffered against the Golden State Warriors. That diagnosis has just come in, and boy, it's heartbreaking for him, and it's going to be such tough sledding for the Nuggets. I don't know how they get past that into a loaded West. But we have some big NFL news that's just come in the past few minutes. You know, look, last night we saw Gio Bernard agree to a deal with the Buccaneers, which I love. Look, they just keep getting Tom Brady more weapons. And if something happens this year and, you know, Leonard Fournette's not good enough or hey, they got another experienced running back in the fold, and this is going to work. You know, the Bucs are doing it right. Tom Brady needs weapons. He did well with a lot of different running backs, different skill sets in New England. We're going to keep that rolling. But here we got Jay. Now, the Cardinals make a big move as they have agreed to terms with James Conner of the Steelers. He visited yesterday, liked it so much. And look, hey, you go to Arizona, you go to like Paradise Valley in some places and find a nice place. Boy, Arizona is a great, great place. You like that desert air. You like the heat. Liked it so much. He has agreed to terms. He is now with the Arizona Cardinals and likely, as long as he's healthy, going to be the lead dog in that backfield.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a big loss for Pittsburgh, is it not? They had a shoddy offensive line play last year, and they couldn't run the football. And so Ben is forced to throw 50 times a game, and he's doing all the quick short stuff because he's so immobile. Steelers really fell apart there down the stretch. Tell me how this Steelers running back room feels to you. Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland Jr., Kalen Ballage, Jalen Samuels. Ugh, that's disgusting.
It sounds like Ben Roethlisberger is going to be going, oh, my God, guys, I can't throw a football for 6 months because I'm going to throw it 55 times a game this year.
Yeah, that's not really a path to victory. You have to be able to run the football a little bit. I know you pass to win in the NFL, but if you can't run, you can't milk a lead. And we saw Ben down the stretch. Teams realized, oh, we just got to jam the receivers because Ben, after they started, what, 10-0, 11-0 something, everybody just jammed the receivers at the line, and Ben had no time. It really started, felt like that with that Washington game. And Ben just looked really poor down the stretch. They were easy to defend when there's no threat of a run game. Not that Connor was a stud, but I think they will be looking at a running back in the second round of the draft. A couple young kids out of North Carolina are pretty good. But I think Pitt has to go running back here. I know McFarland, they drafted, I think, last year, kid out of Maryland. He's tough. Good runner, but he's got some off-field questions. I don't know. I'm kind of out on the Steelers now.
Yeah, look, the thing is, Roethlisberger can't throw the football. I mean, that's the thing. He can't throw the football more than 3 yards. Look, every play the Steelers receivers made middle of the season, end of last year, was all something that was, here's a short slant, and I try to get some yak, because Roethlisberger just couldn't throw it. And that's what you're going to find out this year, is that, boy, he's really done. He really can't throw the football downfield. No, I'm with you. They absolutely need to go running back, and it's surprising they didn't address it more. They didn't try to take a look and say, all right, how do we fortify this team? We can go out and get a couple of decent running backs on the cheap that can come in and play for us and then we can count it. Guys like Tevin Coleman, you know, hey, let's go. You know, he's a guy, he can, you know, he's 200 touches out of the backfield. We need a couple of guys that we can do that with. You know, now for the Cardinals, I love the move. Right? Because is it a risk? Yeah. Look, it's not like James Conner. Boy, you let a great player for 5 years walk out the door. No, he's good. He had a decent year last year, a better year, you know, bouncing off of injury, but he's still someone who gets dinged up a bit. But look, this is a post free agency signing. This wasn't where we went all in and gave the guy a ton of money the first day of free agency and we took a chance on him. This is free agency's over, and he was still out there. And you needed somebody else to take the pressure off of Kyler Murray, because once teams were able to keep him in the pocket last year, it was difficult getting downfield. So now you need something to open up with that running game. And now really it's just him and Chase Edmonds in the backfield. So clearly he's going to win that job and be the and be the number one back there and carry the ball 20 times a game. If he's healthy, that's a huge – I love this move. It's a risk, but it's a good risk and a good gamble for the Cardinals.
I like Edmonds a lot. That's a good battle in the offseason, who wins that. I don't think Connor's a lock, only because Edmonds knows the system, the Kingsbury system. But there will be a level of pressure on Kingsbury next year. I think we'd agree. They should have made the playoffs. I know Kyler got hurt down the stretch in that game against the Patriots. First of all, I lost a lot of money on that game. And second of all, like, I just, you could tell Kyler was not Kyler. Because, like you said, if he's not running and if that escapability factor is not at play, they're very easy to defend. And Kingsbury really has to diversify the offense. I had seen a stat where DeAndre Hopkins essentially lined up on the left side of the field like 94% of the time. They don't move him around. And a lot of the best receivers now, you're putting them in the slot. You're putting them wide. You're putting them everywhere. You're stacking them. And Kingsbury just didn't do that, so the league had figured him out kind of quickly. I am a buyer of Arizona Cardinals stock, and I think they're a playoff team next year.
You know, I think I was a year early on them. I thought they'd get in last year, and they started out well enough, and then Kyler Murray, they couldn't readjust. When the league adjusted to Kyler Murray, okay, this is what he does, they readjusted. There is no coach in the NFL with more pressure on him this year than Cliff Kingsbury, because this team has everything. You have the star quarterback. You made the incredibly great trade for a superstar wide receiver. Hey, this team, this is exciting. You should be in it. But Cliff Kingsbury, who came in with a bad resume and was someone who, boy, you got lucky to get this job, I think patience is up with him. Mm-hmm. And he's the first guy teams are going to look at and go, that NFL's about who are the guys on the hot seat? It's going to be him. He's number one.
It's only my only tough sell on the hot seat is, what are you going to do? You're going to regress Kyler Murray by giving him a new coach and system? Like, that could be troubling. I will just say the defense adds J.J. Watt but loses Patrick Peterson, who had kind of lost a step last year. They replaced Pat Pete with Malcolm Butler. I mean, that secondary is not very good. If they can't pressure the quarterback with Jones and Watt, it's going to be a long year again for that defense. And the division, you know, the Rams got a lot better, obviously. The 49ers will be better with the new quarterback. So, is 10-7 going to get you to the playoffs in that division? I think so. The NFC's kind of down, right?
Yeah, but how much of it was all these Arizona moves where we need more leadership? Right, because these were like, because look, J.J. Watt's going to be a part-time player, but you know, and Malcolm Butler, he's seen his best days, but it's clearly they said we need those 30-year-old leaders that have been through it to try to do it.
Yeah, A.J. Green as well. So this was fun, man. This was a lot of fun.
Great stuff, man. We had a fun time. Neither of us blocked each other on Twitter. It worked out pretty well. Although I got people in my timeline telling me that they're blocking you on Twitter.
Yeah,
now,
go so for it. Happening. Hey, guys, it's going to be sorely missed. I'm devastated that Poo Poo Platter 423 is going to be blocking me. I don't know how I'll survive,